Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krecha. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Autism Empowerment and the Program Director for the Autism and Scouting Program. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting Program, which is one of the core programs of the Autism Empowerment. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program after the broadcast, you can visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other multimedia outlets. This is our first year show of the new year, and we're now starting to book shows into 2013, into February of 2013, excuse me. If you have any ideas of what you'd like to have on air, or if you'd like to be on air, or if you have a scout that would like to be on air and share their story, please email me at john@autismempowerment.org, and I'll be more than happy to chat with you, see, and talk about your idea. If you do come on air with us, we're actually pleased. We have a special program that was just set up late last year, actually late in December of 2012, where a local author by the name of Brian Toshima. He's a big supporter of the Autism Empowerment Program and donating his first book, Secret of the Songshell, to every guest on Autism Empowerment Radio and Autism Scouting Radio. So our guest today will be receiving a free book as well after the show. The book is actually a really incredible book. It's a teenage boy who is actually has Asperger's. And it's a very kind of sci-fi feel to it. And we thank Brian so much for his support and his offer. And if you're not on air and you want to check out a great book, the book is Secret of the Songshell by Brian Toshima. I also want to thank my last guest, Karen Krecha, the Executive Director of Autism Empowerment, for being on my last show, which actually was December 31st. Where we did a review of the Autism and Scouting Program, and we kind of looked ahead to 2013. We're already 18 days into the new year, and it's really kind of looking bright. Next Wednesday will be our next show, the 23rd, where we'll actually be talking about an upcoming leadership kit that we're going to be producing. We're going to be talking about what's going to be in the kit, a conference that we're going to be holding in November of 2013, as well as some other information around that particular program. Today, we have a very special guest. I've been trying to get this guest on probably since, August timeframe. His father's been on a couple times, Sean Williams. He is Richard Williams. He's an amazing young man. He's 19 years old. He's full of lots of energy, and is really emerging to become a true leader and a true inspiration. He's an Eagle Scout and is currently the president of Crew 88, which is a crew out of Aurora, Illinois, which focuses on life skills. Richard received his diagnosis of Asperger's at age 15, and from what I've heard him say is that he's been very thankful about that, and we're going to actually ask Richard about that as well, because it's very insightful and how he took ownership of everything, and he's just a really amazing inspiration. So with all of that, let's go ahead and get Richard on air. Welcome, Richard. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm coming through clearly, right?
You are absolutely coming through great. First of all, we want to thank you for being on air with us. Second of all, also congratulations on becoming an Eagle Scout. I know that's no short task whatsoever. My oldest son, who is about 14 years old, he's just finished his life, but he has a long way to go, I think, to finish his Eagle. So even though it's a short process, he still has a lot of growth to go. But congratulations on that great achievement.
Thank you very much. And one piece of advice I have for you is to make sure that he doesn't start procrastinating. That is a problem a lot of scouts go through, myself included, to an extent.
I guarantee I won't let him do that. I give him positive reinforcement. How's that?
And positive reinforcement is the best reinforcement you can give anyone.
Absolutely.
Especially someone with autism.
That is actually really well said. I couldn't have, but yeah, we tried to encourage him to go to the meetings and stay involved. And a lot of times he ends up not wanting to go to the meetings, but then once he gets to the meetings, he has a great time. And it's probably a very common situation. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that extends beyond just people with autism.
Oh, absolutely. But I want to talk about you because you have an amazing career already underneath your belt in scouting. When did you first start scouting, by the way?
I don't remember the exact year, but I do know it was in first grade. I started out as a Tiger.
Okay, so you've been through the whole program from Tiger all the way up.
Yeah.
Do you remember much about your Cub Scouting years?
I do not remember much, but I do remember a handful of things. So I will answer any questions you have about it to the best of my abilities.
Absolutely. Do you remember any positive things or fun things that you remember about Cub Scouts?
I do remember the Pinewood Derby, which was a lot of fun. I won most of the years, though my parents did do quite a bit of the work because they didn't want me touching power tools, which was probably a good idea.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I did all the painting and stuff.
Oh, very cool. Do you have a memorable car that you remember a lot or that kind of sticks out in your head?
They were all wedge-shaped. They were wedge-shaped.
Okay.
Yeah, I do remember a tie-dye colored one that I made. I think I just sprayed on randomly and just hoped for the best.
I love it. Someday, if you still have the cars, I'd love to see a picture of it. So.
I'll look around, but I can't guarantee we'll ever find it.
Not a problem. Do you remember any struggles that you had as a Cub Scout?
The one that sticks out the most is definitely getting along with my fellow Cub Scouts.
And was it more people picking on you or what was it? Just kind of not being able to relate to them?
I think in Cub Scouts, bullying wasn't so much of a problem as it was in school itself. But, I had issues socially interacting. As a result, there would often be times where arguments would happen and stuff, stuff like that. But generally, it was rather mild back in Cub Scouts, but I still had issues getting along with other people.
And how did you transition from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts? Was that a fairly smooth transition, or was that kind of a big shock, the difference in programs?
It was not a very smooth transition at all. Initially, I really did not like Scouts initially. I did not take to it well at all. Because you had to interact more with other people, things started getting a lot worse. I'm not sure if you could call it getting kicked on, but things got a lot more volatile. I can't say it's getting picked on because I don't know who initiated what. That part's
right.
Not too clear in my mind.
How did you overcome a lot of those issues?
Up until I was diagnosed, I actually did not. I just kept trying to put up with it, ignoring the problem, and doing my best to avoid interaction as much as possible to avoid conflict.
And then you received your diagnosis around age 15?
Yeah. That's when I was finally diagnosed.
And what, do you remember what level, Scout, you were at that point?
I might have been Star. I think it was Star. I'm not entirely sure. It was Star or First Class.
And how did that make a difference, the diagnosis?
The diagnosis really made a big change in my life because I finally knew what the problem was. For the longest time, I tried correcting it myself. I always figured that there was something wrong with me. But I don't – a lot of people with autism don't learn the same way others do with how to interact socially. And, yeah, knowing what the problem was, I could seek out the proper help, and it allowed me to overcome that problem.
That's amazing. And then just – so you were able within 2.5 or 3 short years to go from Star to finishing your Eagle, correct?
Yes.
That seems like a very quick pace to get everything done. I mean, did you have some time to enjoy being an Eagle before you aged out of the program?
I had about 9 months and 2 days.
And
the 2 days were important because I was trying to get all my poems too. I was running up against the clock for the poems.
That makes a lot of sense. And if people don't understand what a poem is, there's a certain requirement of merit badges that needs to be achieved to reach the star rank of Eagle. And then I believe it's for every 5 merit badges above
that,
you get what's called an Eagle Palm. And how many Eagle Palms did you receive?
I received 3. So I received the full one for the full set for the first tier, I guess. I don't know how you would call it, but you can wear, I'm going to refer to them as tiers. There are like 3 per tier, a bronze and a gold and a silver. You can only wear 1 from each tier at a time. Usually you wear the highest one. So yeah, I could only wear the silver one once I had obtained it, which is the highest one. And if I had earned another one, I'd be able to wear the silver along with the whatever one was the highest of the next tier, which would have been bronze if I had gained a 4th one.
Very nice. Congratulations, by the way, because I know getting to Eagle is hard enough, but to get those palms, that's a lot of dedication on top of that.
Yeah, the first 2 palms I already had enough merit badges for when I finished Eagle, but it took some work to get the last few.
What was your favorite merit badge of all your merit badges?
There were a few that stick out in my mind, but those ones were the ones I had the most problems with. The family life in specific was the one I struggled with. The reason I struggled with family life was because of the fact that I kept losing my chore sheet and I had to keep starting over from scratch.
I laugh because my son did the same thing. So I'm sure that his organizational skills are still emerging, if you say. So
mine are still below par, much to the distress of my parents now that I'm in college.
Well, I'm sure you know now that you're in college. That's a good deal. So, yeah, I'm sure your parents are probably just happy that you're in college, as well.
Yeah.
Now, you have what was your Eagle project? Because I think your Eagle project was very interesting. So, can you tell our listeners what your Eagle project was?
I didn't want to do a traditional one like most people. Like a lot of the scouts in our troop did a lot of landscaping, a lot of mulch stuff. I never want to see mulch again, really, or smell it. I decided to think outside the box, and I figured since my life had taken quite a bit of a turn after getting diagnosed. I'd do something to help out other people with disorders such as autism, Asperger's, and ADHD. So I did a day camp, I guess you could call it, where we went over various activities that would allow them to learn communication skills, to work together with other people, and kind of get them out of their comfort zone. We also taught them some a few Boy Scout skills, just to, as part of getting them out of their comfort zone, and because they're good skills to know.
How did you, so it was, this wasn't taught to other scouts, it was taught to a group of kids from the community?
Yes, that is correct. None of them were scouts, at least that I'm aware of. Some of them might have been Cub Scouts, I don't know. I don't think so, though. No, Dad says they weren't. Yeah.
And this was this through your local church or a local organization?
Actually, it wasn't any kind of organization at all. We did look for people. We did advertise through the school district. So.
Okay. Very nice. So you're basically trying to give something back to the community that you're part of, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you know you're now part of what's Crew 88, correct?
Yeah.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what's the difference about this type of particular crew?
Could you repeat that?
Can you tell our listeners about what makes Crew 88 different than kind of more traditional types of crews?
Well, first of all, as of right now, we aren't really working on any of the venturing stuff. We do have plans to do that, but at the moment we aren't. Our main focus currently and probably always will be on life skills. A lot of people with disorders such as Asperger's and ADHD kind of struggle with some of the various life skills needed for independent living. So that has been our primary focus, is working on those and preparing people for life outside of home.
What have you? What kind of things have you done so far with the crew?
We have done bus routes, complete with having to look up schedules and plan a trip. We've started on banking with a checking account. Yeah, with Fifth Third Bank. That's all we've completed so far. Tomorrow we'll be doing some cooking. I decided to take on one of my dad's personal recipes for that one.
Very nice. And from my understanding, each person in the crew has to keep and maintain a checking account?
Yes. I actually have not made mine yet, but I plan on doing it soon.
And that's to teach banking skills and keeping a checkbook and whatnot, correct?
Yeah. I do have some experience with keeping a checkbook, but I actually haven't been recording my purchases, which I should probably work on. I have my own separate account. The account we'll be making is our venturing crew accounts, which will only be used for venturing.
Very nice. What's your current role in the crew?
I am the president.
And what does, for people that don't know what the president of the crew does, can you explain that a little bit?
I'm kind of the leader at meetings. Part of my job is to make sure everyone stays on task, which is a job I struggle with a bit because I myself have issues staying on task. I have to set a good example, which I always try to do my best at. And mentoring is another part of my job, which I actually didn't find out until recently, but I've been doing a good job at that anyways, by example. And I help out people whenever they appear that they need help. I try to teach the skills I've picked up and the lessons I've learned over the years.
It's kind of like a senior patrol leader?
It's similar to the senior patrol leader. In a traditional venturing crew, it might be almost identical. I'm not entirely sure.
Very nice. Do you know what's your vision, or where do you see the crew going, or are there any plans for the, what are the plans for the future?
Well, the vision for the crew right from the start was that help kids, or like teenagers and young adults, to develop the life skills that they need for independent living, as I said before. We do have plans to work on some of the traditional venturing crew stuff because some of our members have shown interest in it. I'm a little neutral on that, but if they want to do it, I'm all for it.
Very nice. Very flexible, too, right?
I do my best. It's both a strength and a weakness, but I do like pleasing people. Sometimes keep that in check.
Very similar to what my wife does as well. So she likes to please people as well, as far as, you know, not trying to cause controversy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I have a quote in front of me because you were actually focused, you and your dad and the crew were focused recently in one of the local newspapers in your area. In I believe it was the KCC Chronicle. And one of the quotes that they attributed to you kind of stuck out at me. It said, "I don't want a cure. It's part of this autism is who I am, and I like who I am. I wouldn't change a thing." Can you explain that philosophy a little bit more? Because that's very important. I really love that whole idea.
Well, being autistic has kind of developed who I am. Peer pressure is something I've never really had a problem with, first of all. It helps not fitting in, I guess. as a result, it's allowed me to keep my moral compass very clean as I've developed in those early, more vulnerable years. And I still do have a very strong moral compass. And I do not like it when my ideals are in danger of being compromised. I've also, something unusual for a lot of people with Asperger's and autism is that I do have a very deep sense of empathy, and I can put myself in other people's shoes very easily, though. I'm not sure if that would be the case if I didn't have this, because it affects how you socialize and various other things. I'd just be a completely different person if I didn't have this, and I don't know who I'd be, and I'm not sure I like that.
I love that. You know, quite frankly, that's a great answer, and I personally have dyslexia, and if I didn't have the dyslexia, I wouldn't have gone through the challenges I would have gone through in grade school and wouldn't have been the person I am today, so... we all go through something in life, and so I just commend you for everything that you've been able to achieve in such a short time.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Is there anything that you would like to say or talk about as far as scouting goes, some of the things that memories back in scouting that you really enjoyed or really kind of stuck out in your head?
Well, at the time I didn't really enjoy it, but I guess in hindsight I did kind of enjoy my time as SBL, which I can't believe I'm saying that. it was very chaotic. It did allow me to learn about being a leader and getting others to work together to achieve a common goal.
It's been very helpful. A lot of experience?
Yeah. It has been very helpful with the venturing crew, I know that. And it also has helped me deepen my sense of empathy, too. Make sure that for those of you who have any type of social disorder, do your best to get yourself out of your comfort zone and practicing these social skills. because they will be important later in life, even if they aren't right now.
Now, what are you studying in college?
I've kind of been all over the place a little bit. I initially wanted to do psychology, but I have issues with essay writing, and ultimately I've decided maybe social work is where the field of social work is where I belong. I do not know what exactly I'll be doing in social work, but I do wish to help other people, especially those with special needs. And the social work field seems to be the best place for me to do that, so I'm currently working on that as my major, and I'll figure out where to go from there as I go along.
I'm sure your dad's very proud of you for everything that you have accomplished.
I'm sure he is.
So,
I'm not just saying that because he's sitting next to me.
What about some of the younger scouts? I know that was great about getting out and of your comfort zone. But what about giving advice for kids or scouts that are being picked on or bullied? What would you suggest, or how could you, any suggestions for them?
A lot of that is kind of situational. It's kind of hard to give advice, but I can try at least. One, make sure you let other people know about what's going on and do your best to remember exactly everything that's going on around you. That was one of my biggest problems and why I had issues with bullying a lot when I was younger, is because I couldn't keep track of everything that was going on around me. And as a result, when they told their stories, I wasn't able to properly point out where their stories were false.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to make sure you're paying attention to what's going on and properly convey to an adult what's going on.
Very good. And that's great advice, actually. Anything else you'd like to talk about? What do you like to do in your free time?
In my free time, I like spending time with my friends whenever possible. I have a very, very small friend circle, but the few friends I do have, I have very deep relationships with. I forgot the rest of the question. What I do in my free time, that's right. I occasionally read books. I do like the Star Wars genre of it. I don't watch much TV. I do play some video games, but I'm a casual gamer. I don't play competitively. I play just because I enjoy it.
I don't know if you heard in the intro, one of the people that's a big supporter here in Vancouver, he's actually a local author, and he's written a book called Secret of the Songshell. And we'll be after, I'll get your information afterwards via email, but he'd like to send you a free copy for being on air with us today.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I remember hearing that at the beginning. I was like, free book. I don't recall hearing about that.
Yeah, it actually was a new thing that he just started doing actually about a week ago. And so all of our guests now get a free book. It's a sci-fi book. The main character is has Asperger's, and he's a musician. And I'm not going to give any more away, but it's a great book. For those that are on or off the spectrum, it's a great read. So it's very visual. If you're a very visual person, you'll love it. So,
all righty, I will give it a try then.
Absolutely. And so, is there any any other memories from scouting that you'd like to share, or anything else you'd like to give to our audience?
A lot of the very vivid memories were the ones where I didn't exactly do stuff I should have. Like my first camp out was the survival camp out, which we've rectified that mistake. Instead of shoving brand new scouts right into the hardest camp out. But, yeah, I was a very picky eater, and I got sick from not eating and getting dehydrated. It's a rather miserable camp out, but I did learn a lot of stuff from that, even though I didn't really apply any of those lessons until after I got my diagnosis.
Can I ask you a couple quick questions on that? Because this is actually a subject that actually comes up quite a bit, especially picky eating and camp out. My son rarely eats when he goes camping. I'd be shocked if he ate anything. And obviously, when you're gone for like a week, that could be a bad situation. How did you overcome that situation?
Well, for the longest time, I just didn't eat when there was something I didn't like. That did cause problems, but again, around the time I got my diagnosis, it's kind of when a lot of lessons, I guess I was on a roll, so when I got to a lot of the lessons I learned over scouting, I actually started applying because they started making sense to me and sinking in. So a lot of foods, even if I didn't particularly like it, I would do my best to eat it. Though there were some foods where, like sausage still, I won't touch it still. I will try it on occasion again just to see if I like it now.
You still don't like it.
No. If it's edible, I will do my best to eat it. That is my current philosophy. So you just got to kind of force yourself to try it. Again.
Yeah.
And as long as it doesn't make you sick, you should do your best to eat when on a camp out for your own health.
As far as camping goes, how did you enjoy camping and hiking?
Initially, I hated both with a passion. Outdoors did not like me, and I did not like the outdoors. And hiking, I was very out of shape, kind of still am, but I enjoy hiking now because I focus less on the walking and how my feet start to hurt, and I focus more on nature around me. Of course, it helps that, unlike the survival camp out, Illinois is rather flat-landed, and it's not too hard to walk for miles and miles.
Yeah, I laugh inside because you sound almost exactly like my son. My oldest son, picky eater, so far still really hasn't taken to camping and hiking, more into the STEM, more of the science and technology type of merit badges.
Actually get my hiking merit badge. I got my hiking merit badge. I had an issue with swimming in the lake because of the plants that would rub against my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very immense fear of leeches. I hate anything that sucks blood. But, yeah, I did eventually earn my hiking merit badge, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
Very good. Congratulations on that. That's one merit badge I don't ever see my son completing, though.
And that's what everyone would have said about me initially. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff you can actually grow out of what you won't grow out of it naturally. You have to make the right adjustments at the right times, the right pushes at the right times, and you have to have the lessons. And there's a lot of factors that go into growing out of some of the problems.
No, I totally appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of parents and probably scouts if they're listening can actually relate to that as well. And, you know, that's a good advice that you gave to keep on pushing through and keep on trying things and keep on trying to not give up when it comes to something that may be uncomfortable for you.
Yep. And when you try again, it also helps to try from a different approach because trying the same thing over and over again can be very discouraging, especially when something doesn't work the first time. Oftentimes, if you try it the same way, it's not going to work again. So new approaches can be very helpful.
A lot of times the same result may happen if you try the same thing, correct?
Yes. In the exact same way you tried it before.
Oh, I also have another question about for you as well. As far as knot tying, did you ever have a problem with knot tying?
Oddly, I did not, which is kind of weird because unlike most kids, I was very late in learning how to tie my shoes. Probably the poor hand-eye coordination thing. With knots were one of the few things I was really good at. While I was still considered a scout, I was the best knot tier in the troop. I could do lashings and stuff. Even though I haven't tied a knot or lashing in a few years, like 2 years or so, I still have most of them memorized and could probably do it if I had the materials right in front of me.
Outstanding.
Yes, it took a lot of practice, and my biggest issue still is being able to tighten them well. But I just kept trying, and I eventually got it down.
What was your biggest obstacle as far as a requirement in through the whole Boy Scout process?
Probably the tenderfoot one for the fitness type ones, where you had to do a whole bunch of different physical activities and then show improvement a month later. I actually did not do the pull-up one properly. I've never done a pull-up. I can't physically do a pull-up. I still can't. I wouldn't even be tenderfoot if they had actually been more strict with that requirement. They marked it down as half a pull-up for my improvement. So.
I've had some scouts only do a quarter of a pull-up. So as long as they're trying to do their best and they're making that effort, I think that's what's really important as well. So.
Yeah. Sometimes people with special needs do need a little bit of an accommodation and a little help. So that sort of thing can be okay. But do your best to try it the normal way first.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or anything else you'd like to talk about?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, though. If you have any other topics, I'd be happy to talk more.
Let's see. We went over, so what about the swimming requirements for you? Because you said that you had issues with plants rubbing up against you and sensory issues. How did you overcome those?
Fortunately, the actual first-class requirements for swimming, we did in a pool. So I had no problem really doing those ones.
And where are some of the memorable campouts that you've had?
The electronic, of course, was one of them.
What's that one?
Basically, it's the campout where we're allowed to bring electronics and play most of the day and nights. The first survival campout was rather memorable because of how things went wrong on that one. But I did learn from that.
What things went wrong?
That I got sick from lack of food, dehydrated, sunburned pretty badly because during the capture the flag part of the survival campout, I was stationed back at camp on a hill where there was no shade, and I got burned pretty badly. It was hot during the day and very cold during the night. I was pretty cold at night. It was wet. I was freezing. Huh?
Killer hill.
Oh, yeah, all the hills and stuff weren't very helpful either. In fact, the camp we were stationed on, I called Killer Hill.
Have you ever done any winter camping?
I've done some winter camping, but most of those have been inside of cabins. I do not like the cold at all, especially snow. I can put up with it on a camp out, but if I can avoid it, I will.
What do you consider your biggest sensory issue?
I've had a lot of issues with sound. High-pitched things I'm not too fond of. Loud noises, especially during the electronic campout, I'm not too thrilled with either. So when the room gets loud, I often have to walk out. When there's too many sources of noise in all in one area, I get an overload from that.
Kind of an overstimulation?
Yeah.
What would you, we have about 5 minutes left. What would you, do you have any advice to leaders, you know, like Boy Scout leaders or Cub Scout leaders on when they're working with Scouts on the spectrum? Do you have anything to say to them? Does that make sense? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. First of all, have lots of patience and be very understanding when they have problems when they're struggling. Be very specific. I was getting to that, Dad. Be very specific with what you're telling. Don't make any implicate. Don't imply. Don't try to make them read between the lines, because that's a recipe for disaster. I'm still trying to improve on that, and I struggle with that greatly. Make sure you talk to the parents and understand from them what about, like, what problems they have and how they usually deal with it. Seek out information and advice. And sometimes when you're unable to cope with the scout, because there are times where it'll just become a little bit too much for you, it's good to come to another adult and ask for help.
Yeah, that's some great advice. I tell you, I couldn't have said it better myself. I just want to thank you so much, Richard, for coming on again. It does mean a lot to me, because your dad is an incredible scouter. You and he are both doing some incredible things in Illinois. And I just want to congratulate both of you. And you specifically, because you are really turning into an incredible leader. And I'm sure you're going to be an inspiration to many up-and-coming scouts as well.
All right. I do my best. And I apologize if anything came out wrong and none of us noticed it, because phrasing things correctly is something I still struggle with and probably always will.
I think you did so phenomenal.
I do my best. That's all I can do. And I strive to make sure my best improves each day.
Well, I think you did a great job, and you're always more than welcome to come back if there's anything you want to just talk about, or just have, if there's anything you guys are promoting there in Illinois. We're trying to hopefully get your whole crew on and get your crew on the air with us, and we hopefully will arrange something for as far as I was concerned. But I think you did a great job, and I want to personally thank you. And
you're very welcome.
And I will send your dad an email to get your email or your mailing address, so we can get the copy of the book out to you as well.
All right.
And I'm going to go ahead and sign off for today. Thank you. We've been talking to Richard Williams out of Illinois, an Eagle Scout and also president of Crew 88, which focuses on life skills. And he did a phenomenal job. And
thank you.
And if anyone has any questions or about Crew 88, you can either contact his dad, Sean Williams, or contact us at Autism Empowerment, and we can definitely get you hooked up with the crew, because they're doing some amazing things, and we really appreciate everything. Thank you again, Richard, and have a wonderful rest of the weekend.
You're welcome, and thank you for allowing us to come on. We hope you all have a good night.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab, or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Good night, and have a great rest of the weekend.